Wherefore come out from among them. And we talked about that yesterday. Okay, there is a tearing, the mending, the smiting, and the healing, the binding together. Okay, come out from among them. This is what the Lord is doing today. He's tearing, he's smiting, he's binding, he's healing. Okay, those who is he's separating from the unclean system. It's called the temple of idols. And we see that in verse 16, or Belial, in verse 15. Okay, which we can go back in verse 15 and the previous chapter about these promises. What concord has Christ with Belial? So I highlighted the word Christ with Belial. Because each bears after their own kind. Christ bears after his kind, Belial bears after his kind. Okay, each after own likeness after their kind. So Satan's kingdom, his offspring reflects him. Okay, and Christ's kingdom, his offspring reflects him after their own kind. Well, what part has he that believes with an infidel? And that's what we call them, the unconverted believers, the UBs. The unconverted believers. The unconverted believers are those, okay, which make claim, they make claim okay, to the promises of God, and they do confess Jesus Christ, but they're not in covenant with him, so we call them the UBs. What agreement has the temple of God with the idols? Agreement has to do with reflection of promise. Okay, agreement has to do with reflection of promise. So God made promises to us for the purpose of we bear his reflection. Okay, the promises are only to those who bear his reflection. So what agreement has the temple of God with the idols? The temple of God does not bear the image of the idols. The temple of God bore the pattern which Moses received, the stewardship. The stewardship, okay, that which Moses received by the Spirit, which is the design of the tabernacle, was to bear God's image. And it had to do with each item and each token was constructed to represent Christ when he would come. The candlestick, he said, I'm the light of the world. The table of showbread, I am the bread of life. The altar, as concerning him being lifted up. Okay, the bath there. He says, if any man come unto me. Okay, as concerning being washed. Now you are cleansed, you are washed through the word which I have given unto you. Okay, or the sacrifices. Unless a grain of seed fall on the ground and die, it abides alone. Okay, which has to do with the fruits of the field, okay, the shedding of the blood, the drinking of the wine, the eating of the bread, the light of the candle, the prayers, the altar of incense, the ark of the covenant, government, truth, and spirit. Each one of those which Moses received by the Holy Ghost when he was in the mount, being the steward, was portions of that which Christ would fulfill in himself, which we now partake of. We're partaking of the fullness now, right? But everything that Moses saw for the physical construction, Jesus fulfilled and provided for us in a spiritual construction, that which Christ is being molded within us. Christ is constructing his image inside of us by every one of these tokens, taken out there and put in here. Precious promises. No idols are allowed in here. No idols are allowed. Okay, which has to do with Baal. Hey, Baal, false knowledge. Okay, tokens that are unsanctified. The tokens that are unsanctified do not separate you from the world to God. Okay, only those things which God sanctifies separates you from the world to himself, beginning with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so God manifested himself upon that tabernacle, okay, as a flame of fire. The priests were not able to stand by reason of the fire, okay, by the reason of God's presence, which has to do that the Levitical priesthood cannot function in my covenant. So the priests were not able to stand to minister at that time. Now we'll go on here. Wherefore, in verse 17, if you use those tokens which are unsanctified, you must come out. You cannot stay in that tabernacle any longer. You cannot worship me by Moses' commandments. You must worship me by my commandments, my new commandments, which I've given to you. Wherefore, come out from among them, the Levites, or the false religious system. You could put FRS over that. Come out from among them. That's verse 17. If you want to embrace these promises, you cannot stay within that tabernacle of Moses. Okay, the promises of Moses were all earthbound, tethered to the things of the soil. Okay, from the Sabbath day observation to the lots or the inheritance which each tribe entered into, which was given to them by Joshua, by Lot. Okay, they cast lots. Okay, and every portion that they entered into had to do with shedding of blood. Okay, through suffering, they entered in. And the same thing with us. By suffering, we also entered in. But Jesus shed his blood for our inheritance. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be you separate, saith the Lord. There's the word separate, or torn from. Or torn from. Now, Jesus gave another analogy, that no man takes a new cloth and sews it to an old garment, or else to make the rent worse. He said that. Okay, so that's a tearing, isn't it? Okay, and neither does no man put new wine into old wine skins, or else the rent would be worse. That's a tearing and smiting. But Jesus, of course, being God, he says that new wine must be put in new wine skins, and that was referring to himself and not Moses. So the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. Okay, in order to release new seed, okay, unto his kingdom. Okay, these are those which you have given me, Jesus said. All those which you give me, I have lost none but one. Okay, and that's the son of perdition. He was a sign to his own derision. Judas was a man of a great aspiration. He wanted to establish the millennial reign of Christ. Okay, but of course he was out of timing, wasn't he? It's not time for that. There is yet 2 days to be completed. So wherefore come out from among them and be you separate or torn, saith the Lord. And then he says what? You cannot come in contact or the proximity of that which is carnal. Touch not. Okay, that's the point of contact again, isn't it? You can't touch the Sabbath day, can't touch the tithe, can't touch the water, can't touch the gold. You know, you can't touch the brute beast, the sacrifices, or those things of Moses are no longer valid. So he says, don't touch it now. It's called unclean. It's called unclean because my spirit has not entered into that. Well, where did his spirit go? It entered into you. The spirit lifted itself off from the tabernacle and entered into a vessel of flesh. Okay? That's you. Okay? On the day of Pentecost. So the spirit that rested upon the tabernacle to sanctify it by Moses, and the spirit came down to sanctify those things which David received by revelation for Solomon, sanctified. The veil was rent, which means the flesh was split. It was ripped. When Jesus received the smiting, his flesh was ripped. That was the veil. The veil was ripped, okay, in order that we might receive life. So he says, touch not the unclean thing and I'll receive you. I'm going to wash you now from the blood of defilement. I'm going to wash you. And that's what we did with Israel when he says, I found you in a waste, howling wilderness. Okay, I took you and I washed you and I settled you, right? So Jesus did the same thing. When the veil of the temple was rent, a new nation was born. So those which you have given me, I have kept. None of them is lost. These are now going to be born of you, Lord, because they have came out from among the unclean. As John the Baptist at the Jordan River was representing, the river represented the matrix. And representing the matrix, it was the water that split for the Israel to go over into the land. Okay? So when the water was split, it was showing a separation. And the water was split, and it dried up all the way from the city of Adam, A-D-A-M, Adam, okay, which represents the beginning. Okay, this is the beginning of my nation. Okay, I have prepared them in a wilderness, and I brought them into their inheritance. Okay? And I have split open the waters as opening the gates of the matrix, so that my people could pass through, and they passed through by my word. And so John the Baptist, standing in the same proximity, okay, where Israel passed over, was beginning a new nation by baptism of Jesus. So Jesus says, thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Okay, you, John, represented the end of the law. And so this is a new beginning of my kingdom. I'm going to establish a record in these waters, in these waters. Okay, but the fires came on him at the waters. Okay, it was the uniting of these kingdoms. The witness and the record now came together. And this is where God says, my name is in him. My name is in him. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. My name is in him. Ownership. From this point on, God took ownership of Jesus' ministry. From that point on, he exhibited and manifested, okay, was for the purpose of our birthing. From that point on, in the waters ended one kingdom, in the waters began another. But the water and the fire came together because he saw the Spirit like a dove coming down and abode upon his head. Because my government shall rule. I shall rule my kingdom, an invisible kingdom, okay, by my government. And it came upon him. So this is my beloved son whom I am well pleased. And passing out of the waters, he went into the wilderness. Okay, as Israel also passed through the Red Sea and went to the wilderness, didn't they? Okay. And this was a preparatory stage for him. Okay, in order to set down the conditions of our overcoming self, Satan, and the world. Okay, overcoming the self of indulgences, of denying of bread, the common things of life, okay, which is necessary for the body, but not for the soul. Okay, as well as also fulfilling the words, he went to the temple. Satan took him to the temple, but Jesus overcame. Okay, he was on a pinnacle. What was that? What was that pinnacle he was on? The pinnacle of the temple had to do with Judah and Levi. And he says, cast yourself down from here. But he didn't cast himself down, did he? He didn't cast himself down at Satan's suggestion. Because he says, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It says, you are not to use this tabernacle to challenge God with, neither to use my word to challenge God with. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He was put on the pinnacle of the temple. He refused to reciprocate to the temple. You shall live by my word, okay, not by the law, but by my word you shall live. Then he was taken to exceeding high mountain. And here, the temptation had to do with concerning the aspirations of this world. And concerning the pursuit of the aspiration. The aspiration on top of the mountain, by the way, the mountain represents, of course, the kingdom of darkness, okay, or Ebal, Mount Ebal. Upon this kingdom and upon this mount, Jesus walked away from that mount with good tidings, that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Jesus would have reciprocated to Satan's suggestion. I will give you all the kingdoms of the world, the honor of the world, the honor of the heathen, the aspiration. I will be the false grace. I will do everything if you just fall down and worship before me. I will give you authority over all my kingdoms. But Jesus did not reciprocate that. The beast will, but not Jesus. The beast will. That's why the whole world will follow after the beast. But the whole world denied the light, didn't they? The light has come into the world, and the world denied him. But darkness came in the world, and he embraced it. Okay? That's because all, those which follow the aspirations are on that mountain. Okay? They're seeing things from Satan's perspective. And by this perspective, everybody will honor you. But Jesus says, but you shall live by every word of God, not by the word of man. That's what he says. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Okay, so let's go on to word separate and touch. So wherefore come out from among them, that's the false religious system, and be you separate. That's tearing, saith the Lord. And touch not, we just touched on that, didn't we? Touch not the unclean thing, that has to do with Belial, because that's where we talk about Satan here. Is any kind of unity with Christ with Belial? There's any fellowship of righteousness? No, there's not. And we see that in verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Be not unequally yoked. And that's in verse 14 of the previous chapter. So we get up to the word cleansing. And that's chapter 7, verse 1. Cleansing. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, the grace resistors, the unequally yoked. So Satan wanted to unequally yoke Jesus to himself. As concerning Jesus being the lamb and Satan, of course, being the ox, if you will, being unequally yoked. He says here with unbelievers, those which resist grace. For what fellowship? There is no exchange. Okay, what can you mirror by false knowledge? Can you mirror God by false knowledge? No, you can't. Okay, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? So the Apostle Paul, by the Old Testament prophets, is making this distinction. Because it was also Isaiah that said the same thing. Come out from among them. Okay, a separation must take place for your perfection. So I'm going to scatter to you all nations. Scatter together. That's what he said to Peter. Okay, cast your net out on the right side of the ship. So that which you labored for in the natural will not profit you. But that which you labor with my word will profit you. And that's what we do. We labor by every word of God. Now we come to chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. So I'll hide the word promises there. The promise of separation for perfection. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let's cleanse ourselves. Okay, cleanse ourselves. So how did the word cleansing? This has to do with your personal choices by the power of God. Purifying yourself. We purify ourselves by the tokens of our separation. The government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy, gifts, callings, and graces of God. Our purification comes from a new point of contact, the touching of the sanctified tools, tokens. Touching of the sanctified tokens. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Cleanse ourselves. Cleanse ourselves. So I had the word cleanse there. Ourselves. So God's provided the tokens, but we have to make the choice. Okay? The idea of the Baptist theology has to do with the unmerited favor. In other words, they want to remain dirty to enter God's kingdom. But here it says cleanse ourselves. So, well, God accepts me as I am. No, he doesn't. He didn't even accept the Levites as they were. The Levites had to go through a preparation process, a preparatory stage, okay, consecration stage, and then they initiated the priestly duties, didn't they? Well, that's also applicable to us. A cleansing begins with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And with that token of washing, we're able now to do service at the altar. So we have these people out here who are saying, God accepts me as I am. So because Jesus loves me, well, God, that's right, God so loved the world that he provided himself as a token. But those that deny the token are still in darkness. So they had grace for salvation, but not grace for growth. So the illumination never entered into its perfection. The illumination was to bring you into perfection. They are still standing without the gate and are crying, Lord, Lord, open to me. I have a vessel here, even though I have no oil in my vessel, but open to me, Lord. And Lord says, I don't know you. But I did have oil in my vessel. We ate at your table. We communicated with you on the streets. We were at all your parties. We were with you in all these things. But Lord says, I don't know you. You do not mirror my interests. Okay, but you're standing before my door. But you don't mirror my interests. You were never cleansed. You can't enter into this tabernacle, okay, but by due process. And the promises are only related to those in covenant. And as you see on Facebook, there's a lot of people that are cut and pasting there of the promises of the Bible, mostly like the Wolf people, the WOF people. They lay claim to the promises of God, but they're outside the gate. And the only way you can get through that gate is through the process of your sanctification, government, truth, and spirit. You have to have a priesthood to enter into that gate. You can't enter into the tabernacle except first you offer sacrifice. So we can see by that example, that first covenant, okay, there was a cleansing, and then there was a sacrifice. The high priest first had to cleanse himself, and he had to wash himself with water. He had to have the proper garments on, and then there had to be the shedding of blood, the goat offering. Okay, the goat offering had to do for all the children of Israel, and it was the first preparatory stage there for the Levites to begin functioning. They could not function except they first had to go through the process of cleansing. Okay, well, we have a lot of people like they're outside the gate. And they're saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And Lord says, yeah, but your hands are still full of uncleanness. Okay, you have not been properly cleansed. You don't even have a priesthood. And where's your sacrifice? Okay, you don't have a sacrifice. You're not cleansed. You're not properly, you don't have the proper clothes on. And yet you want to enter into my house. You want to enter in a house saying by unmerited favor, by association only? No, you have to have a ticket. And you have to be properly prepared even before you stand before my altar. So here we call cleansing ourselves. So having therefore these promises is concerning the separation, the cleansing, the preparation. We talked about that, consecration. So we see the preparatory stage, we see the consecration stage, and we see the initiatory stage. Now you're standing before the altar. Now the Lord accepts you, but the Lord accepts you only on the conditions of Jesus Christ. By his propitiation, okay, his atonement, that means he's standing with you. He's standing with you. He's not standing in your place. He's standing with you as an advocate. Okay, he's standing up with you. Having therefore, now we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. We talked about the cleansing. From all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Okay, so when he says the filthiness of flesh, you put the word Moses over that. And spirit, that also has to do with the work of your generation. Now, you don't touch those unclean things, and Christ will work within you. But if you're touching your tithing, your baptisms and your communions, and the washings, the ablutions, the observing of the Sabbath day, okay, or any of those promises of Moses, you're going to be unclean. So where's the work of regeneration? It's not going to be there. You can see that in the false religious system. Where's your sanctification at? And he says, well, I love Jesus, but where's your sanctification? Now, how can you love God apart from your sanctification? You can't. That's why God is smiting the world. The world has no sanctification. It's without salt. It's without washing. It's without sacrifice. It's without faith. Okay, it's a carcass. Okay, it's a rotting carcass. So let's cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh, but Moses and spirit, your regeneration. And how do you do this? Look at verse 1, perfecting holiness, standing at the altar. Standing at the altar. Okay, I will perfect you, okay, as you stand at the altar. I will cleanse you as you stand at the altar. I will be your God as you stand at the altar. And you should be my sons, my daughters, saith the Lord. Saith the Lord Almighty. Okay, and that's what he says in chapter 6, verse 18. And I will be a father to you, and you should be my sons and my daughters. You're now bearing my likeness. You are the offspring of the Spirit. Okay? Because you're no longer touching those things of Baal, the unsanctified. Now you're touching only the things of my kingdom, my house, my temple, the sanctified things. So now you're perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Okay, that is in respect of him, knowing that if to be separate from his grace is denying yourself the promise. To be separate from the grace is deny yourself eternal life. You have no promises. Okay, so our tether remains strong through the tools, okay, of his sanctification. So receive us. Receive us. That's government. So the Apostle Paul is including his stewardship, okay, within these promises. Same thing with you. Your stewardship is included within this perfection, perfecting a holiness. Okay, and this is what Paul said. Okay, the gospel which we preach should be for the sanctification or the salvation of the Gentiles. The gospel which we preach should be for the salvation of the Gentiles. In other words, Paul was including himself, as all the other elders there, okay, for the purpose of their perfection and sanctification. That you cannot have that perfection and sanctification apart from government. It won't happen. You see this in a false religious system. In 2,000 years, you're wandering in the wilderness trying to find perfection. Okay, but it was always in Christ. Okay, so perfecting holiness and the fear of God. Now, receive us. So I hide the word us there, or you put the word government over the word us. Okay, receive us. Get your highlighter there. So Paul, when he says us, he's talking about his stewardship. Receive us. Then, in other words, the opposite would be true. To deny us, okay, would put you into the state of unsanctification. Okay, if you're in a state of unsanctification, you're now the children of wrath. And that's why God is going to pour out his wrath, okay, with extreme blows of his fury, okay, upon the rapture of the church. Okay, with extreme blows of his fury. Okay, smiting the earth with wormwood and with the asteroid hitting the mid-Pacific, okay, and with all kinds of plagues of demonic expressions, okay, from the demon locusts to the hordes that come out of the Euphrates River, okay, that will be breathing fire, smoke, and brimstone on these people. Okay, in other words, spitting on them napalm. It's like spitting napalm on people. Okay, and this is what these particular spirits will be doing. From the demon locusts doing it to those to the army that rises out of the Euphrates River. Okay, the spirits that rise out of the Euphrates River for the purpose of the smiting of these people which resisted Christ. So receive us in chapter 7, verse 2. Receive us, apostles. We, apostles, have wronged no man. Because we sanctify. We have corrupted no man, because we provided the altar for your holiness. We have defrauded no man. We haven't kept back anything from you. Christ is working within you, isn't he? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay. Now, I speak not this to condemn you, Paul says in verse 3. I speak not this to condemn you. He was challenging them through these forms of reproof. Okay, it's reproof of truth, though. He's challenging the Corinthians there through these forms of reproof so that they will not grow weak at the altar. You don't want to lose sight of your goal. You don't want to lose sight of the goal. Why am I here? What's the purpose of the assembly? Hey, why do I have to pray? Hey, why do I have to eat the bread of God every day? Well, that's to sustain your soul. Christianity is really simple. It's the false religious system that made it complicated. Satan, Belial, made it complicated because he mixed all kinds of things together. And by mixing it together, it lost its distinction of face, didn't it? When you mix them together, it was breeding two kinds of races together. When you breed two races, you get an unusual distinction or offspring. The false religious system did that in the days of the prophets and the days of the kings. Okay, that they were engaging with the Midianites, and the Lord says, no, you don't do that. You cannot engage with the Midianites. Okay, that would become confusion of faith. You're going to be mixing cultures. You're going to be mixing religions. Okay, you're going to be mixing philosophies of life. And it was Moses, even though Moses wanted Jethro to remain with him, it was the Spirit of the Lord that separated Jethro from them, because Jethro still had a twisted thinking. He was the priest of Midian. He still had some twisted thinking, okay, and regarding the conditions of the fathers. Jethro wanted to keep the traditions of the fathers of the Abrahamic covenant. But Moses says, but this is the new covenant. It is by this new covenant that God stands with us in the sanctification. So why don't you join with us, Jethro? And he says, no, I'm going to go back to my people. Okay, and he went back to his people only to keep the Abrahamic traditions. So when finally Israel came there, they wanted to gauge Israel as the woman at the well was engaging Jesus. And the woman at the well was keeping the traditions of her fathers. Okay, Jacob gave our fathers this well and our parcel of ground to Joseph. So she thought she was keeping in tradition, okay, of the true covenant of submission to God. But Jesus, you don't know what you're doing. Okay, you don't even know what you're talking about. The location is correct, but the spirit is of error. Okay, and it's the same thing. You got the right translation of the Bible, but the spirit you're laboring with is an error. So he says, receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. Okay, we talked about that. I speak not this to condemn you. In other words, what the Apostle Paul was saying, the things that I'm writing right here is to challenge you to faith, but not to weaken your hands at the altar. For you are in our hearts to die in the three R's, revelation, resistance, and reward, and live with you. Okay, crucifying the aspiration, but living by the power of God. Crucifying the aspiration, okay, is the most difficult, okay, and the largest barrier, the most difficult obstacle. When you grow, that is the aspiration, because it calls to your signature to fulfill itself with the God code. Okay, it calls to the God code, fulfill your destiny with me, it says, the moral code. Okay, but God says, no, you, that was your first design of the flesh, that's what you have to die to. Okay, now your second design is of my spirit, and it will fulfill all my will. Crucified with Christ, but now living by the Spirit, living by faith. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Okay, or plainness. You can put plainness. It's not that he's not standing on a soapbox and yelling at them. Okay, but great is my boldness and plainness. So you can put the word plainness on there. Okay, plainness of speech. I'm making this known step by step to you. Okay, if you want the promises of God, okay, you have to remain joined to covenant. Okay, you have to labor with the stewardship. You have to have a functioning priesthood. But you have to maintain a separation by utilization. Separation by utilization. By what? What's the utilization? How about praying in tongues, speaking in tongues? So that will keep your separation fresh. Separation fresh every day as daily bread. Okay, praying in the Spirit. It's the most useful of the kingdom of God and the most condemned by the kingdom of Satan. Even Satan says, if you speak in tongues, you're of the devil. See how he turned that one around? Okay, that which was the sweet almond, Satan keeps saying, oh, that's the bitter almond. That's not the sweet almond, that's the bitter almond. No, to me, it's the sweet almond. To you, it's the bitter almond. It's bitter because you can't utilize it. Okay, it's sweet to us because it's our inspiration of growth. It puts us in the proper environment. Okay, so great is my boldness and plainness of speech towards you. Great is my glorying of you because you're fulfilling these things. Then he says, I am filled with comfort and I'm exceeding joyful in all our tribulations. So you might want to highlight that too, the word tribulation there. Contradiction that exists within this dimension. Tribulation, contradiction that exists. You know, God is the one that designed a contradiction within this dimension. And that's what God said to Moses. I create good, I create evil. I kill and I make alive. I plant, I pluck up. Okay, the Lord is the one that has created these distinctions. He says, I created the waters. Satan didn't create these waters. I created these waters. And Satan didn't create himself. I created him. So I created good and I created evil. I created good concerning the covenant in my bosom, and I created evil also by sending forth this demon into this dimension in order to inflame, okay, the aspiration, in order to inflame the imagination. Okay, and provide an environment where my rewards would be great towards you. Even though we live in this dimension of darkness, but God is going to tear us away from this. Okay, and when he tears us away from this, you're going to become Okay, a prince of a great people, a king of great kingdoms. Okay, when God tears us away from here. Okay, but the tearing away begins in the inner man. Okay, and then the reality of that, of course, when we enter the bosom of our Father. Okay, but right now we endure the bruising for the healing. Okay, and we endure the tearing, okay, for the wearing. Okay, you have to tear away in order to wear the garments of righteousness. You have your tear, so there's a tearing for a wearing and a bruising for, okay, for the cruising, if you will. Bruising for the cruising. The mobility. Okay, so I speak verse 3, verse 4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I like that, glorying. Okay, when he talks about the word glorying right there, he talks about it's concerning the fruit bearing that's being nurtured within you, okay, by this commitment of the altar. I am filled with comfort. Nay, I'm exceeding joyful. Nay, in all of our tribulation. Okay, yet there is a prophet, okay, within your presence, as Lot profited. Lot made a lot of profit there. Okay, but then when it came to the time of its judgments, he had a separation. And this is what the Lord Jesus was also speaking about, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot. As the days of Noah, there was also a time of separation for judgment, for the first consummation, as it was in the days also in Lot. Okay, and then he says, remember Lot's wife. Okay, don't look back. Okay, in other words, Lot's wife, okay, had a lot of relations that were lost. She had children that were lost in Sodom. Okay, remember when Lot went there and warned him about that? What was he doing? Informing. He was knocking at the door at this crazy hour of the night. And it says, oh, it sounds like it's your dad again. And here he is, he's telling about us, he wants to come over here and preach to us. This late, early morning, hour in the morning, this guy's really religious. He wants to come over and tell us about angels now. You know, and talks about something that says otherworldly stuff. He must really be involved with our Uncle Abraham there. He must really be involved with that. Okay, but he says, I have to warn you. This is a time of our separation. You got to leave this city. And then he seemed as one that mocked them. And he says, well, what has God done for you, Lot? And I said, you really know better off than anybody else right here. You think you're better than everybody else is. You think your religion is the only religion, you know, and that's why they're mocking him, see? And he says, if you don't leave the city, okay, by sunrise, it's going to be destroyed. And he says, would you go back to bed? And he shut the door and locked it. And he says, your dad is really nuts. And keeping it, getting us up out of a nice warm bed just to tell me a little about his religion, and now he wants us actually to pack our luggage and leave. Can you imagine that? You know. Well, that's going to happen again at the rapture. And to see, we are informing them. They have to tear themselves away. They have to come out from that system. And the perfection, you'll never find perfection in Sodom, okay, but you will find it in Christ. Okay, now verse 5. For when we were come into Macedonia, Paul said, as the Spirit told him. Remember the book of Acts? Come over to Macedonia. Okay, so Corinth there is in Macedonia. And he came there to Macedonia. When we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. We continually labored. When our flesh had no rest, we labored and labored and labored. Same thing right here. Okay? Our flesh has no rest. Okay, we were not on vacation. Okay, we were here for the purpose of laboring. So when he went to Macedonia there, in the Corinth particularly, okay, he went there to begin not just to kick back there and drink a martini on the beach there in Corinth there, okay, but rather he got his hands dirty, okay, and it's concerning preparing stones for the house of God, and that's what we're doing. We're preparing stones for the house of God. We're laboring. So when we were in Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. There was a lot of conflict and contradiction. Without were fightings and within were fears, okay, just like today. Without were fightings within were fears. The rumors that are going around, the laws that are being that are being initiated. Okay, well, Corinth was the same way. Okay, every city state had the rules of the prince or king. Okay, and if they felt that there was something there that they didn't like, they would make a rule in order to oppose it. Okay, that's what Pharaoh did. Pharaoh made a very strange law. Herod made a very strange law. Pharaoh made a strange law. Every firstborn male of these Jews or Hebrews, I want you to throw them to the crocodiles. That was his law. What a crazy law that is. Who would ever make a law like that? Well, I don't know. They made a speed limit 60 miles an hour. Who would make a law like that when you have such a wide expressway? Okay. But they make laws, okay, for the purpose of with their comfort zones, whatever they want. Okay, that's the king. That's that kingdom. But God isn't like that. Okay? Sinners think that God makes laws out of convenience. Okay? Jesus dying on the cross was not a convenience. Okay? It had to do with a purpose. Everything God does is in wisdom and with purpose to it. Okay, but man does things out of pleasure and convenience. And they think God's the same way. They think he's a bully. So God sent a tsunami. Do you mean God takes pleasure in that? Okay, what he did that just out of convenience or out of his pleasure? God doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked. No, he doesn't do that. But he will destroy in order to make an example, as we see in ancient times. Sodom, okay, is an example. Noah's Ark, okay, was constructed for the purpose of warning the future generations. Warning future generations. This is going to happen again, but it's not going to be by water. Okay, it's going to happen again. And this is what Peter taught, okay, in his epistle. Not by water, but by fire. Okay, and we're going to be eyewitnesses of that when we come back, okay, in the ninth week. By fire, he's going to burn off the chaff, okay, of this dimension. Alright, when we were coming to Macedonia, verse 5, our flesh had no rest. We labored, but we're troubled on every side. Without were fightings, with them fears. Nevertheless, God that comforts those that are cast down, okay, which grow weak. Casting down is grow weak, which means they just want to sit. Comfort us by the coming of Titus, which again, like, gave us a vitamin B shot. Okay, when Titus came, he gave us like a vitamin B shot. Okay, he had a lot to share regarding his, you know, the revelations which he received. So when he came, he comforted us. Okay, it's the same thing when we receive an email or Facebook, and or you read in magazines there, that God is giving dreams and visions to people all over the world. And then you read these things. It's like a vitamin B shot. It gives you something that you feel that surge of energy. Great. Okay, another confirmation. Okay. Even the Muslims talking about the Mahdi, that's a vitamin B shot, okay? Because they're talking about the beast, the watcher is going to ascend out of the bottomless pit, which our Bible talks about, okay? And they're waiting, and they know us near the time. We know us near the time. So all you do is put those two together, and you got something there. See, there's a comforting. We are living at the end of the 6,000 years that was so prophesied. You'll see that also in the book of Adam and Eve. Okay, God has determined 6,000 years. Barnabas said it was 6,000 years. Where are we living now? At the end of 6,000 years. Okay, and the seventh day is the day of his rest, which means the millennium is going to be very close. Between us and millennium is the wall of that tribulation, which we are not going to go through. Okay, verse 7. Not by his coming only, not by his presence here, but by the consolation. So I like the word consolation there. This is what we do when we assemble together, when we ride on our prophetic path right here. Okay, riding on the prophetic path is the body ministry, is for the purpose of consolation one to another. The dreams that you get is for the benefit of the whole. Okay, the dreams, the visions, the words of knowledge, like what Apostle Bert received concerning that piece of mercury. Okay, that little drop of mercury is increasing by all the little pieces of mercury around. Okay, and by uniting together, it becomes like a wave. Okay. And there was a prophecy, okay, which I put on Facebook. Okay? When water is united together as a wave, it has an impact when it hits. But as long as it remains within a cup, it's only for one's pleasure. Okay, and it doesn't have much impact. It's just for pleasure. It doesn't make a lot. It doesn't have a roar to it at all. Okay? It's very silent in the cup. Okay, but if you put this water out in that ocean out there, and it becomes a part of that wave. The waves become so enormous, it sounds like dynamite going off. It can startle you. It shakes the windows. Okay? That's the same thing with the second eighth week. Okay, as many dreams about tidal waves. Okay, as we unite together, you're becoming a tidal wave. Okay, what Satan wants to do is he has his little bucket brigades out there that keeps wanting to take water from water outside the wave. Come, hurry up, get that wave. He's passing the buckets around to the other demons to keep the wave smaller and smaller. But the thing of it is that there's water being poured into that wave, more and more wave, more and more water is going into it, and that's what Bert saw, considering all the drops of mercury coming together and increasing it. There's another one, too, another dream that somebody had that was similar to that. So the consolation. Okay. Consolation, dreams and visions, which you're putting down here, okay, is adding to the impact of that wave, and it's going to make a big explosion. Okay, by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire. Okay, your earnest desire. Okay, that the Corinthians, okay, the Corinthians being bound together. Okay, you can see the expression which Paul is bringing out right here, being bound together. Okay, we're of one mind and of one judgment. And we see this also in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that we have one mind and one judgment. That doesn't make you a robot. Okay, that makes you part of the wave. That makes you part of the wave there. The false religious system, see, the robot mentality has to do with the moral code. Everybody has to dress like that person. Everybody has to be a commune. Okay, a commune is a bad idea because you're getting a group of gods in a very small sandbox. In a short time, there's fighting. It always happens. But our bonding together is not by the moral code. Bonding together is by the power of God. So that means you maintain the uniqueness of your signature, but at the same time, you're expressing Christ. That's pretty cool. Only God's kingdom can do that. Okay, so let's see here. This is what was taking place in the Corinthians. Okay, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind, your mourning. See the word mourning there. Okay, that shows that they were all within, and to see that bond of unity of expression. Okay, bond of unity of expression. Mourning, your fervent mind, or being aglow. Fervent means to be aglow. Anointing, another way to put that. Your fervent mind. So we see more and more, okay, in the assembly of the saints here in Muzzle Bay, the fervent mind is manifesting itself. Okay, the anointing. The spark of the anointing is turning into a bonfire. Okay, igniting of a matchstick, okay, to a bonfire. Now you can see a bonfire miles away. Okay, and you can see if the environment is right, you can see a match also lit, like in a desert. You can see a match lit from a great distance, but a bonfire even further. Okay, and all of us are as those are matchsticks. Okay, we're all bonding together. Okay, a fervent mind. By the bonding of together, Christ is being, the perception of God's kingdom is being understood. The bonding together, fervent mind, thinking, see? The anointing, okay, is assisting your thinking. The anointing is assisting your thinking toward me, government. Now you are favorable towards government by this anointing. Okay, the anointing that's not there, okay, is that which is Satan's inflaming in the imagination, which is not favorable of government. Okay, it despises government. It speaks evil of government. It wants to put out the light. It wants to put out the light. It wants to, as the Bucket Brigade, it wants to remove the force of your unity. Okay, it wants to take threads out of the stitching of your garments. Okay, one thread at a time, to the point where all of a sudden you realize that, you know, like in a lot of comedies, okay, you take one little thread and all of a sudden, right, and all of a sudden, right, your clothes fall off. Okay. So your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. Okay. The bonding, the glow, the heat, okay, the enlightenment. Okay, as we expressed there on the second eighth week website there. Okay, it's concerning the explosion that's going all over. Okay, that's the informing. For though I made you sorry with a letter, okay, that is concerning this challenge. I do not repent, though I did repent. Okay, as concerning, I don't want you to go in that direction. I want you to go in this direction, not that direction. For I perceive the same epistle that has made you sorry, though it be for a season. Now I rejoice. Okay, not that you are made sorry, but that you sorrow to repentance. That's good. And this is the same thing which you have done. See, you sorrow to repentance. Now that repentance does not need to be repented of. Okay, once that's sealed, it's sealed by your priesthood. There's nothing to be repented of. Once you offer your sacrifice, you can't go back in the altar and, you know, take it out again. You go over and he says, Aaron's over there wondering what Ithamar's doing. Ithamar, what you doing? He says, I want to get my lamb back. You know, so he's pawing through all the ashes, right, and the embers there. He says, where's my lamb? I want my lamb back. Oh, here's a little piece of wool, you know, and tried to paste his lamb back together so he could offer it again. He can't do that. Nothing to be repented of. Okay, once you have offered the lamb, your repentance is sealed. Okay? So you're no longer repenting, you're building. You're no longer plucking down. Okay? You're continually adding stone upon stone of the house of the Lord. For you may sorry after a godly manner, for the purpose of fruit bearing, godly manner, fruit bearing, that you might receive damage by us, apostles, and nothing. Okay, that our presence right here is to assist you. Okay, not to diminish your force, or not to diminish your force, but to encourage your labor. For godly sorrow works repentance. There's the word godly sorrow. The suffering which you experience is working a fruit that far exceeds that of the nature of man. Okay, what man can create for himself. The fruit which God is birthing within you. Okay, because you're being crucified with Christ. Okay, far exceeds that which the moral code even can achieve. The moral code cannot achieve the perfection of his fruit. They can't do that. You cannot sustain it. In fact, the moral code has to remain within a physical environment in order for it to have its perfection. You don't. You don't have to be in a physical environment for this perfection. Okay? Christ is in you. Okay? You're carrying the tabernacle around with you. Okay? In the false religious system, okay, they have all the eye candy or the stimulations, okay, of what they believe is true religion. So they put a large crucifix up there. Okay? And Jesus, they put Jesus on a lot of times. Sometimes they take him off, but sometimes they put him on there. Okay, and then they have all these pictures all over the place. They have their baptismal pool. They have, they have all the contact points, unsanctified contact points. Okay, the reason why they have all these contact points is to sustain their religious perception. See, but here he says godly sorrow. Okay, godly sorrow. You know, the fruit which God is birthing within you is not by outward stimulations. Okay, it's by the power of God. Okay? So that which the moral code can never achieve, God works within you, okay? You can say he nurtures this through you. Okay? He nurtures this in you and through you. For godly sorrow works repentance to salvation. Okay? Not to be repented of. Okay? But that's the sorrow of the world works death. Okay? The sorrow of the world, which has to do with the outward stimulations, okay, will diminish your faith and your capacity. It will immobilize you. It will destroy you. Death is in that stuff. That's why it says it works death. See that? It works death. Death is concealed in all those physical tokens. Okay, how do we know that? Because every physical token you see, okay, within 100 years, 200 years, is going to be removed. It's going to go back to its conditions of soil. Okay, everything does in this dimension because God determined it that way. All right, verse 11. For behold, the selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness are wrought in you. Okay, carefulness, which means okay, it challenged you to righteousness. That's good. It challenged you to righteousness. Okay, all these external things okay, put you into a position where you had to focus. Okay, God did the same thing within in the church here in Muzzle Bay. Okay, the tearing away caused you to focus more. It caused you to examine yourself. Okay, those which refused to examine themselves became food for the wolf again. Okay, those which refused to build became food for the wolf again. See? It didn't work carefulness in them okay, as concerning their focus. Okay, because then they suffered loss, didn't they? Okay, it wrought in you. Yes, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. Okay, so you can see okay, when he says what he's bringing to our attention. Okay, is first the first portion of that okay, has to do with suffering. Okay, revelation, resistance, and then the second part of that, reward. Okay, verses 11. Verse 11 is very long, isn't it? Okay, so you see revelation, resistance, reward. For behold, the selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort in this revelation, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves by this revelation. Yea, what indignation in this resistance. Yea, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things, you approve yourselves to be clear in this matter. That's the reward. Got revelation, resistance, reward there. The three R's in verse 11. Okay. I said that just to simplify it. Okay, but that's what verse 11 is talking about. The first impact, okay, the first impact of this grace. Okay, the contradiction that you endured, Okay, and also the reward of our presence. The reward of presence and the work, what godliness at work doing, what zeal. See, it caused you to focus. Okay, which before you wouldn't. Okay. If every day was the same, okay, like in some places of the world, okay, every day is just the same. Okay, it's not even a cloudy day. There's not a cloud in the sky. 365 days a year. Okay, it's just the same. Okay, that would get pretty boring. Okay, but it's the predictability of it. Okay, causes you to be carelessrelaxing. You relax. Okay, when you get familiar with things, you relax your guard, don't you? Okay, God says, well, I'm going to have to change that. So God says, I'm going to pour you from one cup to next cup. Yeah, I'm gonna, so when he says one cup to next cup, you know what he's doing? Right, that's for the purpose of regeneration. Okay, every time he pours you from cup A to cup B, it's caused a little suffering, and it also causes you to focus, refocus. Okay, refocus, refocus, refocus. Okay, it's those that become, spiritually lax. Okay, and if they don't refocus, okay, then they're lost. In a manner of time, they go adrift. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, verse 12, I did it not for the cause I had done the wrong, nor cause I suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear to you. Giving you this wisdom, giving you this instruction, giving you this encouragement, giving you this consolation, giving you this comfort. Fervent mind, the anointing, I'll be of one mind now. Verse 13. Therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yes, and exceedingly more joyed we for the joy of Titus. Remember we talked about the joy there? Okay, the intended outcome. Okay, the joy of Titus. Okay, his presence right here, what was his presence here? What was the intent of his presence? Okay, to continually add to your understanding, to continue to add to your growth, to assist you, to bring into you good tidings. Okay, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. When he was in the presence of your assembly, okay, what did he hear? He heard Christ coming out of you. Okay, when Titus came to the assembly here in Muzzle Bay, as an example, okay, he would hear Christ coming out from every sacrifice. Okay, and that is great comfort. Great comfort. Okay, there's nothing there of contradiction. Okay, the face of Christ is clearly seen. Verse 14, for if I boasted anything to him of you, hey, I'm not ashamed, because Satan will not be seen in this. Okay, but as we spoke all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth in reality. And his inward affection is more abundant toward you, whilst he remembered the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. Okay, and on all respect, right? In fear and trembling you have received him. That his presence wasn't there for the purpose of, okay, of condemnation. Now this is what the house of Jesse thought when Samuel visited him. Remember when Samuel came? It was the Lord that told Samuel, I want you to go to the house of Jesse to offer me a sacrifice. And then Samuel says, if Saul hears me going there, he's going to ask questions and be very suspicious about this, King Saul. What shall I say? He says that you have called the house of Jesse to sacrifice. That's what you're going to tell him. And so he went to the house of Jesse. And then all the people in that area there, okay, in Judah, you know, in Benjamin and Judah, okay, they began to tremble, okay, at Samuel's presence, because Samuel says, they were wondering, Samuel, are you here to judge us like you did before? Okay, as concerning a king, okay, last time we came around you, it thundered out of season. Okay, and it caused us to be very, very careful, and it caused great conviction upon us. Okay, because we desired a king. Samuel says, "There's nothing to worry about. I'm only here for the purpose of the house of Jesse." Okay, because he was going to appoint the next king there, wasn't he? Okay, so this is what they thought about Titus, and this is what Paul's drawn from in verse 15: fear and trembling. Okay, you received him. Okay, verse 16. I rejoice, therefore, there's a word rejoice, we will continually build with the presence of government, by this knowledge, by this fervent mind, we will continually build until the Lord comes. I rejoice, therefore, that I have confidence in you all, in you in all things. All these tokens that you Corinthians have proven yourselves, even within our absence you have proven yourself. In our absence, you have proven yourself that you do not wane in your diligence. Okay, so when Titus came, there was nothing he could add. Okay, but when he attended the assembly, he was blessed, as he also shared the things which God revealed to him. Okay, so there was a bonding of this unity. Okay, there was a pure understanding. Okay, there was an increase of God's house. Okay, there was nothing of any kind of a derogatory nature present. No questioning. Okay, no one came up to Titus and said, "Hey, Titus, you sure about this? Are you sure the Lord revealed that to you?" There was no question about that. I mean, no challenges. Okay, it's the moral code that likes to challenge righteousness. Okay, the moral code always wants to exhibit or wants to pretend it's righteous, and it always wants to contend with righteousness. The moral code always wants to contend with righteousness. Okay, and when moral code is present, what does it do? It throws doubt, double-mindedness, and wants to breed sedition. That's what the moral code will do. The inclination of the moral code is very devilish. It's earthly, sensual, devilish, the moral code is. Okay? Because Satan uses that fear mindset of the carnal-minded, okay, to continually challenge and to overthrow God's people. Okay? But when Titus came there, he didn't come with that mindset, and when he was present, he didn't experience that from any of the saints. Okay? That they were not walking according to the mind or the course of this world, not according to principalities and powers of the air. Okay, that they were walking according to that fervent mind. Okay, that they were giving themselves, as we see the three R's right here. Okay, great zeal. And he says here, what revenge? Because when you're zealous for God's kingdom, you're plucking down and pulling down Satan's kingdom. There's the revenge right there, see? And that's what we're doing. We are the true revengers or avengers. Okay, we are revenging the kingdom of God against the kingdom of darkness. Okay. Because as you're sowing the seeds of truth, as you're informing those which are ignorant, okay, of the things of God, okay, you're taking revenge against all disobedience. Okay, you're taking revenge against all disobedience there. The sinners do not like that, and the moral code will resist it. Okay, but as servants of God, this is what our responsibility is. Okay, and as a good servant, we don't question our master. We are just obedient to our master. Okay, that we're laboring with him. It doesn't mean that we're doing things out of a blind passion. We're not functioning out of a blind passion. We are functioning with open eyes of faith. Okay, because faith opens the understanding, doesn't it? We are functioning with open eye. And that's why he's not there right now. But this is an open eye right here. We are functioning with open eye, not blind passion. Okay, but in a false religious system, faith to them is a blind passion. It is. Okay. They just close their eyes and hope they don't bump into anything as they're running in circles. Okay, spiritually speaking. They're always looking for the will of God, but you're looking with a closed eye. Yeah, you have to know what the will of God is. You have to come in covenant with God. Then you're walking with open eye. You're hearing the voice of the Lord. All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today, and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ehrsick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.